I look forward to Mother's Day and Father's Day, these days that we set aside for recognizing and sharing our appreciation for folks who love and sacrifice and give. And the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And certainly moms deserve a whole lot of honor and gratitude. Hold on just one second. We're going to be talking about moms and Mother's Day and looking at a passage that is used very often. And sometimes when a passage from the Bible is used in a regular way, we can sometimes get so accustomed to it that we lose sight of what it's really saying. So we're going to use Proverbs 31 today and take a look at this passage. And we're not going to give instruction to moms. We're going to have instruction for us today and what we should be doing. You know, I would just say this before I get started. Through the years, have seen moms and dads in this church and in this community who love, who put their life on the line for their family, for their kids. And I've seen it in recent months of moms who have grown children who just continue to love and care and serve. And it's really touched my heart to see it. And just I say to moms who've had children who are, had health issues and struggles in their lives, and you're still there and have been there, God bless you. It makes a huge difference. Well, I'm going to ask if you would, let's bow our heads, and we're going to pray and get started here on what the Bible has to say about moms. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for life, Lord, for another day, and for health and strength to be here, a mind to comprehend it. And Lord, as we have set this time aside to honor moms, help us, Lord, to be instructed from your heart regarding our hearts towards our moms. And we realize, Lord, that there are many here today whose moms are on the other side of this life. And I just pray, God, that you would help them to be grateful even with mom not being here by side. I just pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We gather here each week to worship the Lord, and that's what we've been doing, worshiping Him in our singing to Him, worshiping Him and bringing our offerings, worshiping Him even in our interaction with one another, because that's what He's told us to do, not to forsake the gathering together of one another. So even that is an act of worship that we offer to the Lord. And so we do. We worship the Lord. That's what we are about here. And but we also want to take time to honor our mothers and to just let them know how much we appreciate it. Now, we're commanded to honor our mothers. I want to ask them, could you bring that scripture up? It's already up there. I'm going to read it. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land your Lord, the Lord your God, has given you. This is a command, one of the Ten Commandments. And it is the establishment of respect and for authority in the home. When you have a breakdown of honor for mother or father in the home, it has impact even outside the home. So, you know, God, He really gave some great instruction to His people as they were going into that land to establish a society for Him. So we're commanded to honor our mothers, but, you know, it's also sensible and loving to honor our mothers. Would you agree with me? When you think about all that moms do and put into bringing their children up, all of the hours and all of the hard work and all of the worrying that goes along with all of that, it just makes sense to honor our moms. And, you know, to honor is more than just to speak well of them. We honored some some ladies today. By the way, on the way out, we've got a rose and a baby's breath. Is that what it's called? A little white thing? And it's wrapped up, and we've got a gift for moms. So, but you know, honoring our moms is more than just speaking well of them and being polite, speaking politely to them, but it is truly loving and respecting them. It's so important that we pay attention to that. And motherhood, it's a very challenging responsibility. Now, I know because I've been married to a mom. It is a challenging responsibility that is underappreciated in our culture, in our society. I don't hear as much about it now, but back a few years ago, moms who stayed home and baked cookies for their children were kind of given short shrift, out in the culture for a while. But there is a great calling in growing up children. And so that task is oftentimes underappreciated. It takes patience, it takes commitment, and it takes a lot of love. I'm going to read something I found for you this morning in the Message. A little 6-year-old boy got separated from his mother in a supermarket. By the way, that is a terrifying event, and I can tell you from my own experience, when I was in probably sixth grade, I think I was 11 years of age, my brother and I, my mom, went to Scotland to see her family. My mom came from Scotland in 1952 as a 22-year-old lady, and she was a nurse, but she went back to visit her family. She didn't get to go back a whole lot. We didn't have the means to make that a regular occurrence, but on this one trip, we spent 6 weeks there, my brother and I, met my grandmother, the one and only time I met my mom's mom, and what a dear lady she was. But we were in Glasgow, Scotland, never been there before in my life, and I was tagging along with my mom, and I wanted to look at something, and so I broke loose from my mom and took off and looked at what I wanted to look at, and when it was time for me, I latched onto a lady's coat. It was brown, and it was kind of down to here. And when that lady turned around and looked at me, I was horrified. It wasn't Mom. And I panicked. I was on the other side of the world. And boy, I was looking for Mom. But anyway, this 6-year-old boy got separated from his mother in a supermarket. He began to call frantically, "Martha, Martha, Martha." That was his mother's name. And she came running to him quickly. She said, "But honey," and she admonished him, "you shouldn't call me Martha. I'm mother to you." And he said, "Yes, I know, but this store is full of mothers. And the world is full of moms, but you only have one mom. And there are folks who step in and take mom's place. Mothers are important, and we need to recognize that today. You know, to begin with, there should be a deep sense of gratitude, and that gratitude should be felt and expressed. A sincere thank you from a thankful heart, a genuinely thankful heart, is a good place to start. It's a good place to begin, to say thank you. Now, I realize, and I, through the years, for some folks, Mother's Day is a painful event. Just as in Father's Day, for some people here, is not an easy day. And we recognize that. Some have come to church today with mixed emotions. To some, it's just painful. Maybe there are some that wanted to be a mother, but for some reason could not. Maybe there are some who didn't have the best mother in the world. Some who it just didn't work like it should have. And some have had a mother who has passed away in recent days, even. Some mothers, even here in this church, have lost a child to death, and so Mother's Day can be painful. Some mothers feel the pain of a wayward child this morning. You've prayed over this child. You've prayed for this child to walk with God, to have a heart for God, and for it to impact that child's life, and you've not seen it yet. You're still praying. Don't give up. That's what my mom said. We were struggling for some years there, and she told me, don't give up, son, don't give up, keep praying. And boy, we've seen God do some things, and we're still praying as well for all three of them. And so, sadly, some folks come on this day, and it's a painful day. You know, my prayer for you is that God would give you grace and comfort and strength as you walk through that disappointment and that challenge, that struggle in your life. If you pay attention to the news, sadly, almost weekly, we hear of some heartbreaking circumstance where a mother or a father, or maybe both, the very ones who should be protecting and caring for those little ones instead injure or abandon them and leave them in a vulnerable position. But you know, you hear about that, and it is certainly sad to hear. It breaks my heart when I hear of a mother or a father injuring that little life that's been granted to them to take care of and to grow up. But I have to remember this: there are far many more who are caring and protecting and loving, instructing and understanding, giving understanding to their children. You know, there are so many more of them. Aren't you glad for that? And those mothers will probably not be heard of. You're not going to see them on the evening news, are you? You know why? They're busy taking care of their families. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, we're going to take a look at Proverbs 31. I'm going to just kind of quickly go through a few verses. It's the last book and last chapter in the book of Proverbs. I enjoy reading the book of Proverbs through in the course of a month, and I may have encouraged you to that. It's so much practical wisdom in that, and I would encourage you to get a translation of the Bible that is understandable, that you can read it. I suggest the one that we use here. It's called New Living Translation. I also read out of one called The Message. Very, very understandable. Puts it right where you can figure out what they're saying. But let me read these verses. Verses 1 through 9. Let's take a look at these. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol, for if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying and wine for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. You know, these verses reveal a mother's heart for her son. Now, her son is a king, okay? He's the boss of the country. And yet mom has something to say to him. It reveals a mother's heart. Basically this: do not become a slave to passion. Avoid problems related to alcohol, abuse, and then stand up for the vulnerable. Stand up and defend those who need to be defended. You know, it starts out here, oh my son. You know, what I read in this is that she just wants him to do well. Any mother I've ever known just wants her son, her daughter, to do well. Would you agree with that? That's what they hope for. I remember as a dad telling our kids, look, I don't care whether you become a CEO. I don't care whether you have, you know, you make a lot of money. I hope you have enough to live on and you don't have to keep borrowing from me. But you know what I hope? I hope that your life, that it honors God and that you are a blessing and you contribute to the world you live in. You know what, basically, we want our kids to do well. And that's what this mother is saying to her son. But let's look at verses 10 through 31, the rest of the chapter. Now, it's interesting. This part of the chapter is an acrostic poem. In the Hebrew language, each of these verses relates to a letter in their alphabet, all in order. And it's suggested that it was written that way so when children were being taught, they could memorize it, like letters of the alphabet. You know, we've sung with our kids and grandkids the alphabet song. Jerry mentioned it yesterday. We had a meeting here. By the way, Brother Lorenzo Drayton, we had an ordination council on yesterday evening, and he we're going to be ordaining him as a church for gospel ministry. He's been serving the Lord for many, many years. And that'll be two preachers in that family. So, blessing. But we look at these verses 10 through 31, and oftentimes when on Mother's Day, when a preacher gets up to read these verses, how many of you are familiar with these verses? It speaks about the woman that is honored, okay? I'm going to read some of them for you. Sometimes moms, they just hear, is he talking from Proverbs 31? There's almost a collective groan. How will I ever measure up to the Proverbs 31 lady? Now, you may be sitting here saying, what are you talking about, Bruce? By the time we get started here, I think you're going to realize what I'm talking about. These verses talk about the ideal wife and mother, an idealized type of person. But here's her capabilities that are listed as you read these verses. She's a great wife. She's a manufacturer. She's an importer. She's a manager. She's a realtor. She's a farmer. She's a seamstress. She's an upholsterer. And she's a merchant. On top of that, she's wise and kind and compassionate. Now, if all of those things make you feel somehow like you're not measuring up, this is going to hurt even worse. Bring up verses 13 and 19, if you would. 13 first. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. And go to verse 19. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. I guess when she has some spare time, when she's not making all the clothes for her family or the ones that she takes down to the market and sells, when she's not out buying property, when she's not out planting gardens, and when she's not doing all, she's making her own material, okay? So, you know, I would say, ladies, don't take that as, boy, I'm slacking here. I'm just not, you know, here in our day, it's, you know, though times and customs and how we do things change over the years, a lot of this stuff can be done over Amazon, right? And it's here in 2 days. Aren't you glad for that? You know, even though times and customs and how we do things change, there are some underlying principles here. And I would say, let's not get lost in the minutia. Let's take a look. What are some of the underlying principles that we see in this passage? A hymn to a good wife. First of all, she is trustworthy and trusted. Look at verse 11 and 12 of this chapter. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. It's evident that her heart is to build up her home and not to tear it down. To build up her home, to do what she can to make her home a safe place and a good place, a healthy place for those that she loves. So trust. Another thing that we see in these verses is diligence. Diligence. We're going to take a look at that. She's not afraid to work hard so that she can provide for her family. I want to just quickly, you guys, I'm going to give you a run for your money back there, okay? I'm going to look at the verbs here. Verse 13, she finds. Verse 14, you with me still? She's bringing her food from afar. Verse 15, she prepares. Verse 16, she inspects. Verse 18, she makes. We skipped 17, but I'm coming back to it. Verse 20, she extends and opens her arms. Verse 22, she makes. Verse 24, she makes. And then verse 27, she watches. She keeps an eye on things. So she's not afraid to work hard and to provide for her family. You heard that saying, man may work from dawn to sun, but a woman's work is never done. You know, in verse 17, it says this. I think it says it well. She is a hard worker. Verse 27, it says it even more explicitly. Look at this. She carefully watches everything in her household. And I like this. She suffers nothing from laziness. She don't put up with it, okay? Well, so that's diligence. So we speak about trust, She's trustworthy. She's diligent. She works hard, but she's compassionate. Look at verse 20 in the same passage. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She's compassionate. She has a heart for people in need and does something about it. And then we see love, the practical kind. Look at verses 21. I'm not going to read them all, but verse 21 says, she has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. And we read on through those verses there. Her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the civic elders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. We know that. So a practical kind of love. This is what real love looks like. So moms, that's the end. I'm talking to the rest of us now who are supposed to be honoring our moms. The message today is not to focus on what mothers need to do, but the one thing that we should do if we're still able to. And that is in verse 10 of this chapter here. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. And that is today for us to recognize her worth, her value. She is more precious than rubies. And that is to truly value our moms. And as I said, your mom may not be here with you. You may not be able to get on the phone and call your mom today. Deb and I are planning to get in our car and drive down to Hollywood and hang out with my mom some. She told me over the last 4 days, don't come, son. Don't come. I want you to stay home. But I got to live with myself. So we're going to see mom. You know, we're told to recognize their worth and to value our moms because they are truly valued by God and they should be valued by us. What are some things that we can do to really let our moms know that we value them? I've got a few things just to put out for you today. How we can honor our moms. And let's take a look. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs primarily, but then go over to the New Testament. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. How can we honor our moms, either if they're here or they're not with us? The first thing is this, to remember what she taught you. Verse 20, Proverbs 6 and verse 20. My son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. How many of you can remember things that your mom taught you and they may have been gone from this side for many years? How many of you can remember what your mom taught you? I see some folks who've got a lot of years under their belt and they say, I still remember what my mom taught me. One way we can honor our moms today is to remember what she taught us. And then secondly, how we can honor our mothers, and that is simply to treat her right. Treat her right. Let's take a look at what the scripture says about this. By the way, it's pretty clear what God has to say about how we should treat our moms. Proverbs 19 and verse 26. 19 and verse 26. Children who mistreat their father or chase away their mother are, read it with me, an embarrassment and a public disgrace. Now that's pretty blunt, isn't it? Would you agree with me? But you know, it's important because I want you to think about this. When you consider all that a mom does for her children, cumulatively, from the time that they come into this world, all that is done, and for us to treat our mothers, even if we don't agree with them, we're not going to always agree with our moms. We're not always going to feel obligated to do what they think we should do. It's just the way it is. We answer to God, each of us, individually, for our lives. But for us to be hateful and to be treating our moms who've done so much for us with rudeness is a public disgrace. Amen to that. So treating her right. Let's take a look at another. Proverbs 20 and verse 20. If you insult your father or mother, your light will be snuffed out in total darkness. That's getting even more heavyweight. I'm getting the picture that God is for people to respect the sacrifice and love and value that generally are due to our mothers. All right, let's look at one more. Proverbs 28 and verse 24. By the way, there have been times I've had to go back and apologize to my mom and say, "Mom, I am sorry. Please forgive me. I was out of line." That's just part of living, isn't it? We don't always do it right. But we need to keep this in mind. Listen to this one. Proverbs 28, 24. "Anyone who steals from his father and mother and says, 'What's wrong with that?' is no better than a murderer." So you get the picture. We are to treat our mothers right. You want to honor your mom in your life? Treat her right. Treat her right. You may not always agree. You may differ. You may have to go outside and just scream at the top of your lungs. But come back in the house and treat her right, okay? Here's another one, how we can honor our moms, and that is take care of her when she is old. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Let's take a look and see what this has to say. Proverbs 23 and 22. "Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old." There's another passage that I want us to look at. It's in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is some instruction that Paul writes to this young pastor to teach the people of God. And in this passage, he's going to really hit on something that lets us know that we have an obligation to our parents. All right? I'm going to read the verses. I want you to have the context. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. "Never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would your own father." He's writing saying, this is how we ought to relate to each other in the house of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? So he's saying when you're dealing with an older gentleman in your church, don't just disrespect that elderly gentleman, but to treat him as you would speak to your own father. And what is that an indication of? Well, I ought to be speaking to my own father respectfully, wouldn't you agree? And not harshly, and not disrespectfully. Let's read on. "Talk to younger men as you would to your own brothers. Treat older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. Take care of," here's where we get down to it, okay? We're talking about moms and how we honor our moms, and how we can specifically honor our moms, and that is to take care of them and treat them well. Take care of when she's old. He says this, "Take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home." And what? "Repay their parents by taking" what? "Care of them." Now listen to this, the next phrase. "This is something that pleases God." You know what, friends? This is laying out an expectation. If there is a widow who's a part of the church body who has nobody to care for her, the church should come around and try to meet the needs and help somebody in that position. Another terminology is called widows indeed. That's terminology you may have heard. But it says if that one has children and grandchildren, what's he saying? They need to take responsibility and to take care of their parents, all right? And you know what it says? That's godliness. To come down to church and to sing and to preach and to teach lessons and to do all kinds of great things around the church, but not taking care of mom, God's looking for something better than that. Godliness at home. And it says that God is pleased with that very thing. It is a way to show the heart of God. A practical way for us. And it sounds like God is pretty serious about it, isn't it? If you don't follow me, let's look at verse 8. "But those who don't care for their relatives," and that's not talking about freeloaders who don't want to get out and work, "and and you got to somehow take care of everything for them because they refuse to do what they should do. There's also a passage that says those who refuse to work, you don't have an obligation to feed them. And so we have to balance and to take into account these principles and teaching that we are given in God. But we know this, those who have raised up families should be cared for in their old age. Is that pretty clear? It really is. It's a responsibility that we have. And we live in a time, and look, there are situations where a family could just cannot physically take care of those needs in the home. And so we're thankful to have other venues and places where care can be given. But certainly it ought to enter our minds, and I'm speaking to people in my generation, as we think about our parents, what should I be doing to take care of my responsibility? And the bottom line is this, disrespect and lack of care create the wrong kind of example for the next generation. You understand that, don't you? It may come back to haunt us. I'm sure hoping one of our three are going to take Deb and I take care of us when we can't take care of ourselves. I hope so. If not, come see me in the nursing home, all right? I found this, a letter from an 80-year-old woman on her birthday to her children. I'm going to read it for you. She wrote, she said, I suppose my upcoming birthday started my thoughts along these lines. This is a good time to tell you what I truly want, and they are things I can never get enough of, and yet they are free. I really like the intangibles. I would like for you to come and sit with me and for you to be relaxed. We can talk or we can be silent. I would just like for us to be together. I need your patience when I don't hear what you say the first time. My mom just got hearing aids about 3 weeks ago. And when I would go and pick her up down in Hollywood, it's an hour and a half drive. When I'd bring her back, I was hoarse. I couldn't even talk anymore. I three times I'd have to repeat every single thing. Now it's only twice. And so that really spoke to me. Boy, Lord, help me to be patient. I know how tiresome it is to always be repeating, but sometimes I must ask you to repeat. I need your patience when I think too much about the past. And with my slowness and my set ways, I want you to be tolerant with what the years have done to me physically. Please be understanding about my personal care habits. I spill things, I lose things, I get unduly excited when I try to figure out my bank statements. I can't remember what time to take my medication or if I took them already. I take too many naps. Sometimes sleep helps to pass the day away. Well, there you have it. Time, patience, and understanding. Those are priceless gifts that I really like. It's a letter from an 80-year-old mom to her kids. Every other Wednesday, typically, I go to join Tony and Ann, Jimmy, and there's Ty, and Wayne, a whole host of folks that go to the Solaris Nursing Home. I encourage you, if you have a Wednesday off and you want to be a blessing and be blessed to come, we sing. And Tony or Jimmy or Wayne, Ty, they give a message. There's about 55 or 60 some of the patients that come in. And I will tell you, I play the guitar and we sing. Some of those folks, they don't have family that comes to see them. And they long for just a hug. They long for someone to just to let them know that they're important. I think I've told you before, I was singing one time, playing the guitar, and this sweet little old lady motioned for me to come over to her wheelchair. And I pulled aside, and I bent down. She said something, and she said, "Go to hell." And I said, "Boy, okay." I hadn't been told that before. But I will tell you that's only one and only time I've ever had that happen. But there are folks that just long for somebody to hug them, to let them know that they're valuable in their life. I want to read this as well, something else that I found. You know what an IOU is, don't you? IOU is, it's something I owe you, okay? And so to moms, and I want you to think about it. I'd like to ask you to do a little thinking on this morning. I'm going to read here an IOU that we have for our moms. And I want you to think specifically about it, okay? Each one, I've got a list of them. I owe you, Mom, for your time, day and night. You should think about that. I owe you, Mom, for your time. I owe you, Mom, for your example. I owe you, Mom, for your support. I owe you, Mom, for your counsel. All throughout those years, coming to Mom, what do you think? Sometimes hearing what you didn't want to hear. I owe you, Mom, for your humility. I owe you, Mom, for your hospitality. All your friends piled up on your mom. They're all, those friends are hungry, want something to eat. Mom's got plenty to do. Mom takes care of feeding all your friends. That's what it was when I was growing up. That's what Deb did. We had a pile of kids. We're at our house all the time. And hospitality. I owe you, Mom, for your insight, keen and honest. You know, moms know their kids. I heard this many years ago. You've heard it maybe a dozen times. But I think it's a truth that needs to be repeated. Nobody can humble you like your mom. Nobody can humble you like your mom. They can go right to the facts. I owe you, Mom, for your sacrifices. Numerous and often too quickly forgotten. I owe you, Mom, for your faith. I owe you, Mom, for your hope. And more than anything, I owe you, Mom, for your love, devoted and deep. You know, we talked today about how we can honor our moms. I had a short list there. Remember what she taught you. Treat her right. Take care of her when she is old. And then this, make her heart glad. Live for God. Make her heart glad. Live for God. I got one other passage, and we're going to wrap it up here this morning. Proverbs chapter 23. I want to read verses 24 and 25. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 24 and 25. You want to honor your mom? Make her heart glad. Live for God. Live for God. The father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. Amen, parents. So give your father and mother joy. May she who gave you birth be happy. As I said earlier, you know, for Deb and I hope our kids do well. I hope that they find fulfillment in the work they do. I hope they're happy. I hope they enjoy the life that they have that's been granted to them. But certainly what we had prayed for and hoped for as we grew them up when they were just around our legs hanging on, when we would take their little faces and point those little faces to God and try to teach them to remember Him and not to forget God. Not to forget all the blessings and benefits. Yesterday, I mentioned earlier, I did a funeral for a gentleman. And, you know, it came on so quickly that they found out he had cancer and then it was just gone in his life. We do not know, any of us here, what the journey looks like for ourselves. I will tell you, you know, whether your mom is here, whether you're going to see her today and eat lunch with her in just a few minutes or call her on the phone, or whether she's on the other side of this existence, you want to make your mom happy, make her heart glad, live for God. Live for God. Above all else, recognize her worth. She is more precious than rubies. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to close in time of invitation. There's something on your heart today you want to pray about. You don't need to tell me. You tell God. If you recognize along the way, the Spirit of God has poked you and said, hey, there's been some disrespect. There's been a lack of consideration for someone to whom it is due. You know what the Bible says? If we confess our sins, our faults, our failures, our shortcomings, He, our God, is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. And that, we get up and go at it again. And nobody does this perfectly. But we ask today and ask you to think about, are you moving in the direction that is pleasing to God as far as these things we've spoken about? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the clarity and what you have to say about our hearts and our honoring our mothers. Lord, we realize it's complicated. We realize at times it's messy. But Lord, thank you for giving us direction on where to go, on what to be about. And please, Lord, forgive us if we, anyone here, Lord, needs to bring it before you. And Lord, help us to truly cherish and value our moms. Please help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.